away from one bar. Okay, we continue in the Rambam Hilchos Shmita Yovel Perek Tes Halacha Hey Chapter 9 Law 5, in discussing how we said that when the laws of Yovel apply, there's the laws of Shmitas Ksofim, where after end of 7 years, at the end of the Shmita year, all debts are released. That's at the biblical level. If there is no mitzvah of Yovel, there's no biblical obligation of Shmitas Ksofim. However, the rabbis nonetheless said, so we don't forget the laws of Shmitas Ksofim, they said that all debts are released rabbinically at the end of the 7th year. So, and notwithstanding your question, Shelley, of the person,
right?
The person could give the gift. Do you still have a question?
Well,
you can ask it again. Maybe I caught you too fast. I didn't hear your question properly. But let's review for the tape. We said that even though the debt is released and you don't have to pay it, if the borrower wants to gift the lender afterwards, the lender can give it to him, the lender can take it.
So my question is, when we deal with interest, we don't allow a gift back to the lender because it'd be construed as interest. In this case, why do we allow a gift to go back to the lender to pay the principal when he's not supposed to collect the principal anyway?
Okay, that's what I thought was your question the whole time. And that's why I'm saying the same answer. The prohibition of interest is when you're paying back the principal plus something on top of the principal, and the person profited by the mitzvah of lending him. Here, the fellow lost by doing the mitzvah. He lost the entire principal. What the fellow is giving him is not interest.
No, it's principal.
He's giving.
You shouldn't get principal.
Can you tell me what interest means? The Torah says you can't take interest.
But the Torah says you can't.
Torah says you can't take interest. Will you tell me what interest means? It means when you're collecting the principal plus something on top of the principal.
What Shelley's asking is, in this case, you can't get principal either.
No, the guy is allowed to gift him something. He didn't get the principal. He did not get the principal.
Shelley's concern is the Torah says you can't get principal.
You can't collect the money. The guy has to give me the money. You owe me the money. I'm taking a debt from you. That you cannot do. The debt was released. The guy does not owe you anything. You can't get it from him in court and anything. Now, if the guy would like to gift you and give you a gift, then you're allowed. He's allowed to give it. You may receive it. There's not a problem of violating the Shemitah because it was not extorted. It wasn't forced out of the borrower. He didn't have to pay it back. Out of the kindness of his heart, he's giving it back. It's not considered interest because the interest is only when you receive a principal plus more than the principal. So
I just have the same principle.
No, so it's
akin to something, but it's not called that.
But
the principle be the same.
Because it's a big difference when the Torah says the debt is released, finished. You don't have to pay it back anymore. It's done. Now the guy wants to be a nice guy and give him a gift. And give him a gift. So he's giving a gift. Where is there any interest? So you're not violating the laws of Shemitah either.
You're not, except that
the guy gets
what? Except what?
It's a legal fiction.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. If the guy doesn't want to give it to him, he doesn't have to give it to him.
He doesn't have to.
And he's not obliged to give it to him. There's no obligation even to gift it to him. We're not saying you're not going to pay it back, but we're going to force you to gift it to him. We're not saying that. The guy can walk away, and there's many people who would do this, that we're all know such types of people in this world. Okay? So now that the debt is totally released, he does not have any obligation to give it to you. If he now wants to turn around, not because you're claiming from, but say, you know what, you're a nice guy, you went on the limb and lent to me, I don't have to pay you back, I want to gift you the money back, the guy can give it to him. He's not going against the laws of Shemitah, and he's not...
That's different from... interest, where you can't even give something that looks like interest. Even
because
if
you're giving the guy the principal. If the guy's getting the principal plus something in addition to the principal, then that's like interest.
If something's a gift in that case.
But I didn't get the principal.
The
I don't understand. Okay, more than this I can't explain.
I got supporters.
No, I don't see what you're saying. When we say this idea, it looks like interest, is because you paid. But that's what you're falling back on. You want to compare it. You want to compare it to that.
We're saying this looks like.
It doesn't look like principal. It's principal. You could take him to court and force him to pay it. Okay? It looks like interest. It doesn't look, it is interest. If I do you a favor I normally wouldn't do for you, the fellow is getting more than the principal back. Okay? Here, the guy cannot expect and demand it back. Payment means by law you gotta pay me. Here, the guy does not have to pay him by law at all.
But if he ends up having the amount back, even though.
But he didn't, but that was, he gifted it to him. Okay. A loan being released means that you can't go to court, you can't expect the money, it's gone. Okay, it's been released. That's what the law says. I can't demand it from him. The debt has been released. He owes me nothing. The law has stood. Now, the guy wants to give him a gift that has not, doesn't even look like the law hasn't stemmed, because the way the law should be is that he could force it out of him. And that doesn't happen anymore. Okay, let's go
you know
on.
How we say hey, a judge can't accept a gift. Even though it's
that has nothing to do with anything. That's bribery in a case. That will bribe his view to look at the thing.
All right. Okay.
I appreciate
it. Hey. Okay. Now, not only are debts, straight out debts, released, but certain debts that looks like, let's again, not only are loans released, but certain types of debts that appear to be like loans are also released, even though they weren't given as a loan. But it's a debt. Hey, shochad es hapor. Let's say the fellow takes a cow for a group of fellows. Let's say 10 guys want to have an equal share in a cow. Okay, and they want to have it for Rosh Hashanah. So the guy says, I'll tell you what, I'll lay out the money. I'll lay out $100 for this cow. And the understanding is, everyone's going to pay me back $10, and I'll get my $90. Now, but the guy is laying out the money. Okay, that's an important idea here. So he shechs a cow, v'chilka, and he divides it. The whole idea was, we're going to divide it. Now, he was thinking, when was this happening? Al dasha hayom Rosh Hashanah shel Motzei Shvi'is. He thought today is Rosh Hashanah of the day after Shemitah is over. Rosh Hashanah in year 8. He thinks he's got the cow, he's shechting the cow, and he thinks it's Shemitah's over, Shemitah's over, now we're starting fresh. I shechted the cow, these guys are going to owe me $90 after Yontif, they're going to give me the money, and he's got 7 years to worry about collecting it. That's what he thought happened. And guess what happened? There was the Beis Din didn't make any mistakes. This was in the early days when they didn't know if Rosh Hashanah was when Rosh Hashanah was, when you had to wait for witnesses to come. So what happens? He thought today is Rosh Hashanah. Turned out, Venis Abra El, they made a 30th day to Elul. So today, when he did all this, was the 30th day of Elul, which means it's right at the Shemitah line. He shechted the animal. Guys owe him $90 with a couple hours to go till Shemitah year is over. And once it's over, quote unquote, debts are released. This is the last day of Shemitah. So within a couple hours, there was a debt incurred, and Shemitah knocks off the debt. Guess what the halacha is? Avru hadamim, he loses the money. Shaharei avra shvi'is alachov, because that's exactly what happened. Shemitah passed with the debt still being owed to the fellow. So that's not a case where the guy loaned them money. He just put out the money for them, the understand. So they kind of incurred a debt, which looks like a loan, but it's not a classic loan. We will see that this will be different from halacha Yud Aleph, which is will be different than this of, let's say, a store owner. We're going to see certain times Shemitah will not knock off certain debts. We'll have to explain how. But here, clearly, when the guy shechted, was very well understood. I'm shechting the animal now. You guys all going to owe me the money, and I'm expecting the money tomorrow or the next day. It's not something we're going to let it ride for a few months. So clearly, the action of shechting the animal, and we spoke out to each other, means you guys incur the debt immediately upon me shechting it. You owe me the money immediately. Shemitah now passed a few hours later, and Shemitah knocks it off. Even though it wasn't a formal loan, it was a debt that was incurred that knocks it out. Yes, sir.
Wouldn't this calculation on the side also involve an avera? Because didn't we say you're not allowed to postpone giving debts? You have to give. I thought we said you can't. You have to keep on giving debts throughout the Shemitah year. The loans throughout the Shemitah year. You can't hold off till after Shemitah. Wasn't that one of the
I don't understand the question.
Wasn't one of the... Somebody want to talk about
it? Yeah. Start again.
The Averis saying you can't hold off giving out loans until the Shemitah year is over, that you have to keep on...
You shouldn't withhold from lending.
Yes.
So what does that have to do? What does that have to do with this?
He wasn't waiting.
Because in his calculation, he didn't want to shech the thing until.
It was Rosh Hashanah. He wanted to have a fresh Rosh Hashanah meat.
Okay, I thought he was holding off.
No, that's nothing to do with that. It was Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to shech an animal on Rosh Hashanah.
But if he was supposed,
you're allowed to shech an animal. He says,
I thought he was looking at his calendar.
No, it's nothing to do with that. You're thinking too much, Mark. That's too much thinking. It's good, but that's not the case. That's not the issue at hand here.
If we change the case, if he was approached,
let's not change the case. Okay, halach above. Okay, now. Now, Shmita Mashametes Es Hamilva. Shmita is so powerful to nullify any loans. Vafilu Milva Shebishtar. Even if it's a loan with a document. Sheyesh bo achrayis nechosim, even though it writes on the debt, the loan, that the guy has to pay me back, and he doesn't pay me back, I can collect from his property. That's a very strong loan. Hareza mashmit, it still nullifies the loan, and you'll see a little bit more, what's that going to be in distinction to another case. But, the next case though, what if the imsium lo sod above also? What if he specified a specific piece of land? He said, I'm lending you $100 and there's a lien on this piece of land. And if you don't pay me back, this piece of land has to go to me. As opposed to the first case which said, you owe me money and if you don't pay me back, you have to pay me from any one of your lands. Okay, if you say this specific piece of land, then ain't a mashmit, then the Shemitah does not nullify it. Why? Since he specified that piece of land specifically, it's as if it was already collected. Because since it's spelled out, it's as good as yours if the guy doesn't pay you back. You don't have to go through all these processes. In other words, when there's a general debt, you can't collect a general debt. And we don't know which property is leaned at all, so it's trying to collect a general debt. Once you specify exactly this piece of property, as far as the rabbis are concerned, it's as if you already have that piece of property, and the only way you're not going to get it if he doesn't pay you back. So it's a much stronger taking already. It's like it's been taken almost before the debt, as the debt was given, as opposed to taking something totally new from him.
Is that only because it's land? I mean,
yes, because it's land. Specifically works with land.
If you lend someone your watch.
I don't think so. We'll have to check. I don't think he's talking. I haven't seen it yet. We'll have to see. But clearly with land. V'hashvis, another thing Shemitah does, Mishametes is a shvua. It also absolves a person from having to take an oath when he normally, under normal circumstances, would have to take an oath. The Rambam will give an example. Let's say, for example, I claim from you $100. I lent $100 to you. You said, I agree, I borrowed from you, I only borrowed 50. I denied 50. What's the Torah halach on that normally? What's the normal halacha?
It has a special term, doesn't it?
Yeah, what's it? Moda b'mikza. So what's the law normally? If it's not Shemitah, what happens? The guy takes an oath and then pays the 50.
Right?
So now we're saying, in such a case of Shemitah, it absolves the fellow from even having to make an oath. If the guy says, you know, yeah, I agree 50, but I don't know the other 50. Normally an oath would kick in now to absolve you from having to pay. But the truth is, even if he owes the money, does he have to pay? No, because Shemitah has absolved him from the debt at all. So now does it absolve him from the debt? It absolves him from making oaths under those circumstances because he wouldn't have to pay anyway. So you don't have to make an oath. Shenemar, how do we know? This the pasuk says, Lo yigos, you can't oppress. Any kind of oppression, mikom makom, any oppression, lo lishan, not to pay, v'lo lishave, not to even have to swear. Nothing has to be done for the classic oath. And that's what Zion clarifies. B'med, when does it mean he doesn't have to swear, b'shuvas hadayonim, when it's an oath that the court makes him swear in the context of loans, a loan type of oath. Or any other thing that if he would have admitted to owing it anyway, Shemitah would have knocked it off anyway. So therefore, he doesn't have to make the oath because he wouldn't have to pay anyway. On the other hand, what about other oaths to not pay, but not to not pay because it's denying a loan, but for other responsibilities you would have had, such as being a shomer or something like that. Let's say you were a shomer and you have to swear to not pay. I swore that I wasn't negligent. And now you don't swear, you'd have to pay. Would he be absolved from swearing then? No. But an oath of guardians or shutvim or partners, where partners take turns watching for each other, and therefore each one's like a shomer socher on the other fellow, and now you want to be potter, shomer socher, you'd have to swear it was an ones. And we'll say, well, I guess I don't have to swear, because if I'd swear, I'd have to pay. I don't have to pay it shmita. We don't say that. Those types of oaths, they're absolving you from guilt, not from owing. Then shim yoda, because if he would admit, even in shmita, yet I admit I was negligent. So shkoyach, if you were negligent, you have to pay. It's not a debt. It's not a debt that you're admitting. You're admitting to being a mazik, to destroying something. Shmita doesn't lay you off the hook. Yeah, can you imagine? 2 days for a shmita, I go to your house, I burn your house down. I don't have to pay you. You know, I owe you $1 million. I don't have to pay you. That's not a loan. That's not a loan. You destroyed the guy's thing. So that's why shim yoda, because even if you admit you should have to pay, why? Harezi yishava, so he has to swear achar shmita, after shmita. In other words, he got out of paying it for whatever reason, making the oath. Listen, you lost my object, you shomer. Oh, and he drays a cup till after shmita. He still has to make the oath, because the law shmita does not absolve, nullify pikadon, a watched object. It only absolves loans, and therefore he would still have to swear after shmita or pay if he doesn't want to swear. Okay, let's continue now. Halacha Ches. Now, here's an interesting situation where a person can't even collect before the Shemitah has finished. An interesting scenario. Halacha Ches. A fellow lends out money, utvo, and now he wants to collect before Shemitah, when he's allowed to collect, but for kufferbo, but the borrower denies it. And it's dragging him in litigation until he can get him to a court. So the guy's trying to collect before the end of the Shemitah, according to the Rambam, and the guy's not letting him collect. Okay, v'igia shmita, and now the shmita's coming and passing. And the borrower is still in his state of refusal. So and the borrower isn't able to collect if the guy denies owing him the money. The most he could have is a rabbinic shvuas hesis, but not more than that. But the lender is not even able to collect. It's not like a normal scenario where the loan is outstanding and the guy didn't bother to collect it before Shemitah. Here the guy is denying that he owes it. And then, very cleverly, after Shemitah passes, then the lender comes along. Then the guy says, well, you know what? Now I admit that I owe you the money. It's after Shemitah, and Tak, I did owe you the money, but Shemitah should nullify it. And that's why my memory helped so much. Or, let's say like this, the guy still refused, I don't know you, but finally he was able to find witnesses after the Shemitah. Then witnesses came after the Shemitah year to say that he owes him the money. So then, Ein Hashvi Meshameta, the Shemitah alone does not release the debt, because Shemitah only releases a debt that has claim to it. That's the whole idea, where you don't oppress the fellow. In other words, where there's a collectible debt that you can't oppress and collect. But if it wasn't a collectible debt, then the guy didn't have a chance to collect it before anyway. That's the difference over there. Since he wasn't able to collect it during the Shemitah year, and was only, here's the yesod, something that's collectible before Shemitah, then the Torah releases the ability for you to collect it. But if you couldn't collect it before the Shemitah, so then that was beyond his control to collect it before the Shemitah. So now it's not like we're saying, well, don't force him to pay you back. Now I couldn't have gotten the money beforehand.
I couldn't collect before.
The guy denied it. He lied. The guy says, you owe me the money. He lied. So I have no way of collecting it.
If he just ignored him.
That's denying. What do you mean? Ignores him. You can't just ignore a guy. The guy takes you to court. He says, tell me, pay me the money. He's got to say something now.
What if he said...
If the guy says nothing, then he has to pay.
What if he said, I agree?
The court will take something from him. Yeah. If you say nothing,
right.
The guy wants his money. The guy says, you owe me the money. He says, I deny it. Do you have a star? I don't have a star. Okay, so I can't collect it. The court can't force me to collect it. Then after Shemitah says, yeah, by the way, I owed you the money. So the Torah only says we release you from being able to collect that which you could have collected. But something that you could not have collected, we can't release you from that.
Rabbi, if the borrower says, yes, I admit I owe you the money, I just don't have it. Is that considered uncollectible too?
That's a good question. Well, you get the money, man. Find a way to get the money.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, what's defined as...
Well, that's how else... How do you have any... Well, I guess the Shemitah would take it away because that's on any debt.
That's the point. That's
well, why hasn't the guy... What about any... So, a guy, I've got the money.
So they can... How would they collect the sell stuff? They'll put...
I don't have anything. I'm a bum. I'm a vagrant. I have zero assets.
Well, you must have had something.
No, I have nothing.
To make a loan.
No, the guy was a nice guy. Hashem was the you know.
The money,
I don't have it. So that listen, how do you ever have a case where a guy doesn't pay?
That's why I'm wondering.
All right, we'll have to see if there's other cases.
That's my question.
But this clearly could not be collectible because the guy was denying the guy was denying the loan. That's clear. Yes, Shelley.
It's more of a general question. I remember we learned some Gemaras where
we're going to get to the next Rambam. Let me see if I guessed your question. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, we learned about where the rabbis would do all these stipulations because it would ruin the economy if they didn't.
Well, that's the Prus Bowl. We're going to come to that. That's the Prus Bowl. That's coming in about six halachas from now. That's what they did. They did that to make that happen. Exactly. I thought you were going to ask a different question. Okay. All right. Now, let's try it.
The answer to Shelley's question.
It's coming up in Tess.
No, but this one is going to be answered the question that Shelley didn't ask. It should have.
Right. Tess. Now, you'll remember this, guys. We learned this in a Gemara once before. It's a number of different Gemaras. We've come across it a few times. Hamavas Chaver Kavlos Man Laesher Shem. A guy makes a loan, and it's payable 10 years from today. And you cannot collect it before the 10 years are up. It's a 10-year term. I'm lending you today $1,000. You can't collect it. The terms are, it's collectible only after 10 years. Now, of course, a Shemitah, at least one Shemitah will have to pass beforehand. But again, it's not collectible at all. The same principle over here. So now, it's now 10 years are up. The guy wants to collect. They say, Shemitah passed. It released the debt. No. Einam Mishamed. It does not release the debt over here. Even though the Shemitah passed in between. Even though he's going to oppress him after the 10 years, and he's going to collect him after 10 years, Torah says when Shemitah passed, you can't ask for it. But now when Shemitah was passing already, he couldn't collect it anyway. So it's the same principle as the last halacha. The other thing was the guy denied it, so I couldn't collect it. Here, the whole way it was said, it wasn't due yet, so it wasn't in the collectible. So you see again, it's got to be something that was collectible before Shemitah, the Torah releases that which is collectible. So here it clearly wasn't collectible. Right, now, what if Hisna imo shalo yispa? Now, what if the condition was it was a regular debt, and for somehow the borrower is able to make the lender make a condition? I owe you the money, but you can never approach me for the money. That was the condition of the debt, the loan. I'm buying $1,000. I owe you the money. I have to pay you the money, but in written in the condition, and the guy didn't have to sign it. He said, but you will never ask me for the money. When I'm going to give you the money, I'll give you the money, but you cannot ask me for the money. So if you make that condition, still in all, Shvis Mishameta, Shemitah will knock off such a loan because it wasn't that it was not a collectible loan. The guy could certainly pay it. Okay, the only thing is the guy can't ask for it. But certainly the debt was still there. The guy admits he owes the money. He can pay the money, just the guy can't ask him for it. So that's him taking it away from being a collectible loan since the fellow could pay for it. Because the lender has to pay it back. Just because the guy's not asking for it doesn't mean he has to pay it back. So even if the guy can't actually ask for it, but if it clearly acknowledged that the debt's there and the fellow should be paying the debt back, Shemitah will knock that off. Because
so
you can't say it wasn't collectible because the guy could pay in 10 years. It's a 10-year term. I don't have to pay you back. Here, I got to pay it back whenever I'm supposed to pay it back. You just can't ask me for it. So Shemitah can knock off my responsibility to
can
pay
he
back.
Therefore approach the Beis Din?
That's another whole different thing. We're going to get that's the same as Prus Bowl. It's all the same as Prus Bowl.
Yeah. First case with the 10-year loan. If we start that in year 3 of the Shemitah cycle.
So two Shemitahs, same thing.
No, it's year 3. It ends in the Shemitah year.
So collect it in the Shemitah year. Remember, it's not a problem until the Shemitah year passes. Let me give you another scenario. Let's say like this. Let's say it's a, let's think of a good case, a 13 and a half year term loan. Okay, 13 and a half year term loan, starting in year one. In year one. Okay, first Shemitah passes, doesn't have any problem. The Shemitah now, the 13 and a half year term ends a few days before the second Shemitah is about to end. It's almost a 14-year loan. Now, that second Shemitah will knock off the loan.
You have a week to collect
because you had time to collect it. You follow? You had time to collect it already, and you didn't want to collect it. You didn't give yourself a lot of time to collect it, but you can. But if, let's say, a 20-year loan and three Shemitahs pass in between, it still doesn't matter. It doesn't knock it off. Okay, now, here's another, we've learned this in the Gemara before as well. Hamavas chaver, a guy borrows from his friend, lends to his friend, vehisnemo, and he makes a condition like this. Now listen carefully to the wording here, it's gonna be different than the next halacha. He says, shalo tishman shviz, I don't want shviz to apply, period. I'm lending you $1,000 and I don't recognize the valid, and we're writing into the document, I do not recognize the power of Shemitah to negate a loan.
But how can he say that?
Hareza Nishvat, it will negate it anyway. You're not allowed to nullify a law that is of the Torah. You can't say, you can't say Shemitah doesn't work, period. But on the other hand, what you can do is, but he's Neimo, but what if he makes the following condition? He says, I agree that Shemitah exists for everybody else's loan in the world. And for maybe every other loan that ever with everybody else. But with this loan in particular, I don't want your loan to be taken away from Shemitah. Shlo Yashmin hu chov zeh, that this loan will not be forgiven. In other words, Shemitah works. Shemitah works. I agree it works. I'm not saying Shemitah. It's not, I'm making a condition that Shemitah doesn't exist. I agree Shemitah exists. But I don't want it to exist on this particular loan. And to that which he agrees. So we haven't nullified Shemitah. We're saying Shemitah exists. I've got five other loans that I'm willing to let go. But you, Mr. Rotten Stinker, you I'm not going to let, and I'm only if you accept it under those conditions will I give you that particular loan. Even if he makes him the loan in Shemitah, Tzno Kayim, the condition exists. So he's saying he's saying Shemitah exists, but not in your case. That's the difference between saying Shemitah doesn't exist. For me to say Shemitah doesn't exist, you can't say Shemitah doesn't exist. But to say Shemitah exists, but not on your loan, and the guy's agreeable to that, then you can do
so
that.
So you can say, I accept that Kashrut applies to all the meals in the world, but not to this one. How can you exclude?
No, because there's two. The kashrus is God's laws of we can't put treif in your mouth. Here you can't oppress somebody. The guy's saying, I'm letting you oppress me. The guy's saying, I'm moichel. I'm moichel. The Torah is benefiting the borrower. The borrower is saying, listen, I'm moichel on that. I'll let you oppress me. The Torah is doing it for the borrower's sake. The borrower could say, I'm moichel on this. I don't care. I'm willing to pay it. I'm willing to.
Or might not be able to get a loan from anybody. It might be pressed to get a loan.
Well, the guy won't.
Alone, so now he's taking advantage.
Well, or the guy won't get a loan.
So,
won't get a loan at all. So we're saying, we're agreeing between us that it's not applying here. They're not saying that Shemitah doesn't exist. Shemitah, you can't say Shemitah doesn't exist. But to say Shemitah exists, but not in this particular scenario, that is an exceptional
law.
You can't talk about kashrus. Kashrus is God's law. It's not your...
I give you permission to say Lashon Hara about me. Can I dispense?
Again, that has nothing to do with you. That's a different thing. It's not your body to say Lashon Hara. But here, it's financial.
You say, I will pay you interest.
I give you permission to charge me interest.
On this loan only. I agree that...
No, because you're not allowed to take advantage of doing a mitzvah. No one's allowed to take interest, even if you agree. Here, the guy is saying, I'm happy to pay the loan. That's all. I'm happy to pay the loan. I'm allowing.
Happy to pay interest, but it's the only way.
But the Torah says, you can't profit from doing a mitzvah.
Here's a good example.
As far as you can't profit from it, you're not profiting from doing this. The guy should have paid you the loan.
You don't even sit in my chair.
Okay, what about this?
Yeah, if a father says you can sit in my chair, that's allowed because then he's saying I don't care about the covet. I'm mokel on the covet.
And same with the rav.
But they're both agreeing to the financial arrangement over here.
The Torah says the loan is forgiven.
But if the guy's saying, thank you, God, for forgoing my loan, but I'm willing to not forgo the loan. I'm willing to do all those things.
Okay,
so in other words, you cannot deny the veracity of a mitzvah, but you can say that it will not apply in this particular case. That's the principle.
Why can you do that with the Shemitah and not with the interest?
Because the Torah says you're not allowed to profit from doing a mitzvah. And it has nothing to do with what your feelings in the matter are. You cannot profit from when you're doing it. Neither one, because you're helping him. You're helping him. Both sides can't do it. Even if you want to, the Torah says you can't. You can't pay, you can't receive. No, the Torah doesn't say a guy can't pay. The Torah doesn't say a guy can't pay back a Shemitah loan. By interest, it says you can't take interest, you can't pay interest. It doesn't say you can't pay back a Shemitah loan. Oh, good point. Okay, 30 minutes.
Okay.